The Gemara says in Brochus, Chayav Odom Lahashlam Parshi Yosef Imatzibur Shnaya Mikrovechatam. So there's a din of Shnaya Mikrovechatam. But the source of this din, who enacted it, it's apparently a din de Rabbana. It does not seem it's a din de Raisa. Nobody that I've seen right on the subject claims that. But when was it enacted? Where was it enacted? That there are very, probably broad differences of opinion. And Aruch HaShulchan assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu enacted it. It goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu enacted Kriyas HaTorah. And so it's a Takanas Moshe, you know. And he learns, according to him, it's really the twin of Kriyas HaTorah, which is interesting in certain regards, in certain halachas, but it's parallel to Kriyas HaTorah, meaning, say in the Davani Yishtem, the same as the Imeno, Lilmoid Lulame, Lahovin Lishmoya, Lilmoid Lulame, Lishmo Balasas of the Kayim. So there's Shmiya and there's Limud. So he learns that there are two mitzvahs, two parts of Talmud Torah, the Shmiya. So go to the basic Knessets, and hear about Kriya, read the parasha to listen. And then there's Lumo to learn the parasha myself. And he learns for that reason that that's, according to him, in general, there's a machlekes. What's the Iker Mitzvah's Talmud Torah in terms of the brocha that we make on it? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if I don't articulate the words, I don't recite Birchas HaTorah. The Gros says, no. The principal mitzvah HaTorah, Limud HaTorah, is Vagisa Bayom HaValayla. It's the thought process. And therefore, the Gaon insists that Avada Birchas HaTorah would be made on Torah that we learn by Machshav. In other words, if a person didn't utter a word, he opened up his Gemara, thought for the next 15 hours, and he closed the Gemara to make Birchas HaTorah.
Getting back to Moshe enacting Kriyas HaTorah, the Rav's talking about on Monday and Thursday. And
No. We're talking about
Shabbos?
Yeah, the Shabbos. Well, it started. It started Monday and Thursday, the Gemara says also, that came from Moshe Rabbeinu.
But I thought Monday and Thursday was, so we shouldn't go 3 days
without so that started from Moshe Rabbeinu, so clearly.
But that's also
When the cycle, the whole cycle is a machlokes, when the whole, the cyclical laning, in other words, to read on Shabbos, if that's from Moshe or Ezra, is, I believe, a machlokes to Bavli and Yerushalmi at that point. But the Monday and Thursday, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu enacted immediately. That's clear. But the Shabbos sticker one, there are disputes about who exactly was behind
it. I thought the Monday and the Thursday was so we shouldn't go 3 days
so that's
without
so that was so that's
no, but it's I'm going towards the learning, not just the
oh, creative, good, but yeah, but there's two, in other words, but there are two aspects. There's, in other words, in Talmud Torah is the Shmiya, is to hear the Shliach Tzibur or read the Torah to us, and then it's to actually learn the Torah myself. So according to the Mechaber, the Iker learning is that which I articulate. And that's why you don't even make Birchas HaTorah on Torah B'Machshav. Happens to be, I'm very partial, I understand the Gaon very much. Because, I ask you the following. If I read the Torah Shebiksav and I don't understand the words, I don't know what I'm saying, but I just read. I get a mitzvah. Undoubtedly, you get a mitzvah. Kai mitzvah's Talmud Torah. At a low level, but I'm a Kai mitzvah's Talmud Torah. Let's say I open up a Gemara and I read. I don't know what I'm reading. I'm a Kai mitzvah. Yeah. What?
The Gemara holds yes. The Bresel is good.
It's a klar in Hilchos Talmud Torah that you're not a Kai mitzvah. The reason is very simple. Lidaiti. Torah Shebiksav has words. If I said Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Eisa Shemayim, that's Torah. So I said the Rabbanu Shalom's Torah, it's a mitzvah. In Torah Shebal Peh there are no words. They're only ideas. The written words or the oral tradition, the Baal Peh, is a means of conveying the idea. But there are no words. The words don't exist. All that exists are the ideas. See, if I understand something, so that's Torah. Words, the words are not relevant.
So if you read Torah Shebal Peh in English,
it's fine. If I understand it, it's a mitzvah. If I don't understand it, doesn't help if I read it in Lashon Kodesh. I always go far from the guilt. Good. Listen, in terms of all the batolis that I might do, it's probably the best. You know, it's the holiest one. You know, if I'm going to choose something to do, so I might as well do that one. But nevertheless, mitzvahs Talmud Torah, there isn't such a chetimtz. Oh. So that's why I say that in Torah Shebal Peh, the ikur is there are no words. There's nothing to articulate. All there is are ideas. So ideas of a hagisa b'yom v'alayla. That's the lechara where the goyin is coming from. And that pasuk. I mean, the machab is not disputing the fact that there's a mitzvah, but the goyin's point is the whole mitzvah is a goyin. That's it. There are no words. There's nothing to articulate. Our Karpon of the Aruch HaShulchan learns that these are two parts of the mitzvah. According to him, there are those that want to argue a very almost strange conclusion. And that is the following. Let's say the Baal Kriya Shabbos morning. The Baal Kriya Shabbos morning. Can it be Yaitse, the Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, with reading the Mikra to us? So they want to argue that he's not Yaitzi, that he can't be Moitzi us. I mean, rather, he can't be Moitzi himself, which is Naya Mikra. Why? Because he's doing a different mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of the tzibur listening to the Shmiya, and then there's a private mitzvah to learn. So there are those that want to argue that the Baal Kriya is not Yaitzi Shnaya Mikra with that which he read for the tzibur.
Can the tzibur be Yaitzi by listening?
So the Beis Yosef Paskins, I believe the Radvaz as well, that one can't be Yotze by listening. If you read along with the Baal Kriya, you'll be Yotze. But if you just listen, you're not going to be Yotze.
Yotze one of the readings.
You won't be Yotze one of the readings, right. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, you really could, if you could be Yotze one of the readings, then you could really do it well. Read along once with the Chazam, so you have your reading and his reading. You'd have two already. Really, you know. Why be eight in one? But you can get two at the same time frame, you know. Efficiency. Now, it's also relevant, and people don't realize this, the Targum you have to read to. It's not enough just to scan the Targum or the Rashi to read the words. So this is, now, I personally like the Levush's approach. The Levush, you know, there's a notion which has lost popularity in, certainly in American education, and it's creeping into the Jewish education too. And that is the idea that we learn to actually know something at the end of the day. At the end of the day of learning, whatever it is, that you actually have to know something. This is a strange notion in our system of education.
To remember it or to know for the test or remember?
No, to remember, to know it. That's it. I wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know it?
Not just the day after the test.
Yes. It's 5 years later. Right? Now, it happens to be when we finally get to graduate school, yeah, then we get down to business. Because we say, listen, we're paying you to know something, you know? I didn't pay you. I don't care what you studied and what you forgot. When you show up in my office, I'm paying you for a skill that you know, whatever. You go to the doctor. I don't care that the doctor read the books in medical school. It doesn't impress me. I want to know what he knows today. In the computer field, you pay a guy for what he knows now. So, you know, what we pay for is what people know. But we don't get around to that till super advanced education in our society. And unfortunately, it's crept into us in the Jewish education as well. There was, even in Lita, where I stressed lomdas very, very much. But in the high school age schools, they stressed a great deal of chazor and mastering bikis. Tremendous amount. know, people have to know. But so the Levush says that that's the essence of the Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. You know, the first thing we ought to know before anything else is Mikra. Aleph. You know, there's an old joke they had in the yeshivas that somebody is Anam Oritz with the Raisa, the Talmud Chochem with the Rabbonim. Shas, you can talk to him about, but don't ask him a pasuk in Chumash. So that was the joke. He's Anam Oritz, the Raisa, the Talmud Chochem with the Rabbonim. You know, today, it's hard to find a person that knows Tanakh. The Mamash knows Tanakh. I might be wrong. There's probably one person that walks into this building that knows Tanakh like this. One. I don't know if there's more than one. I remember when I lived in Canarsie, so some of Shabbos I used to go to Rav Drumman, all of us all, to his share. He was a tremendous yadin, and with tremendous amount of learning. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. So sometimes when he wanted to articulate something, like he didn't remember clearly the lashon of a pasuk. So there was a European Jew that used to come to his shir. So he turned to him and he could knock off whatever. He just started, got him started. He could knock off any pasuk. And got to Tanakh. Like this. Like you and I could say Ashrei. What comes after to you? Ashrei Yeshrei. That's the way he was with any pasuk. Just turned to him. The pasuk flowed. Whatever it was. So the Levush says that that's the basic idea of Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. We should have some mastery of Chumash. So if we do the parasha twice each week, after X number of years, we ought to have a pretty decent idea of what's going on in the Chumash. Pretty decent. Now the Targum, we'll come back to that in a moment, but the idea of the Targum was that we should understand what the Mikra is saying. Now the Targum itself is a Masorah from Sinai. It's one of the Masorahs from Sinai, which came through the Gemara from Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. It's called Targum Unkelis because at a certain point in time, we might speculate why in a moment, it fell into disuse and it was forgotten. And Unkelis was involved in repopularizing it, the Targum. I speculate, I don't know for sure, but I have a speculation that the Kriyas HaTorah used to take a lot longer than it once upon a time than it takes today. Why? After every Pasuk, the Balkriya stopped, and there was a Targum that got up and he said the Targum of the Pasuk. Basically, the Gemara explained it to its Kal. The Balkriya read another Pasuk. The Targum got up again, and that's the way they went through the Parsha from the beginning until the end. Now, why did then we have halachas in the Mishnah in Megillah, which Parshias he should be Metargum, which Parshias he shouldn't? There's certain things he shouldn't be Metargum because they'll be misunderstood, whatever. Well, the Gemara goes to discusses that, but there was a Metargum. Why don't we have a Metargum?
I understand.
Oh. Because the point is, we started in the Hebrew. We have some facility in Hebrew. Now you're going to get up a guy that's going to get up in Aramaic. We have zero facility. So we took it from a language that we understand 50, 60, 70%. It is translating into a language that we understand at best 2%. So what's the point? So that's why the Metargum lapsed. Now, the Metargum couldn't really be replaced because there was an authenticity to the Targum because it was a chelik of the Masorah. It was just as each Tana had his Masorah. This was the Masorah of the translation of the Chumash, which came through Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. This was their Masorah.
But I'm trying to understand why would at Sinai they give it in the language of Aramaic?
Because
at Sinai, if anything, if you want to say that we're trying to understand it, because give it in Mitzri. Give it in. So, I mean, they were.
It says there was a Targum for all the 70 Lashonos. That's what it says. So the Shaila is what the purpose of that Targum was. It says when they crossed the Yarden, they wrote the Torah and all 70 Lashonos on the stones.
So most.
Why
did we keep?
The one so obvious, what I think happened, is the one that was most preserved was the Aramaic one, because in the era which was crucial to the preservation of the Torah, meaning in the time of the Tanaim and Amoraim, etc., of the Shas, that was the spoken language. And that's my spec. That's why the other ones lapsed. Because, you know, nobody needed, and was the Jewish, the Egyptian one, a couple of generations in there, Yisrael, nobody knew Egyptian anymore. I mentioned that there's a machlekes. Rabbi Gevirger cites a mashon, Baba Madlikin, that the Iser, there's a prohibition to teach Torah to non-Jews, which applies to Torah, even to Torah Shabbat, not only to Torah Shabbat. The Netziv, in his preface to Chumash Breishis, clearly disagrees with that. And he says the fact that it was translated into the 70 Lashonis as they crossed the Yarden was because the Torah Shabbat was intended for every nation in the world. And we don't want the mistranslations that we have from our non-Jewish neighbors and all the problems that they created because they didn't know the Hebrew language properly.
But it's a derabbanan, so maybe, yeah.
What?
But it's a derabbanan, not teaching, I imagine.
I don't know, I'm not sure. The Dovid HaMelech wrote, Lo'osa chayin l'chol goyim mishpotim ba'yidom. So that's a pasuk. So I don't know exactly what status to give it. Al-Kalponim, my suspicion is that the Targum itself also lapsed, because for the same reason that you said, when they, in the era that Lashon Kodesh rode high, people didn't speak Aramaic. So Mamela, the Targum also lapsed. Elamai, at the time, it would seem, in other words, in the latter part, by the time of the Tanoim, and maybe there was the rise by then already of the community in the Roman era, so there was a strong community in Babel already, so Aramaic had a revival. And Mamela, there was a point to reviving the Aramaic, and that's where Unculus comes up here, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yeshua, and it makes a revival. But the other 69 faded out. We don't know, we have no Zecher of them anymore in our history, but they were, because, as you said, when they spoke Lashon Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't necessary. And probably what happened, we lost also, as the Rambam writes, in the Golus in Babel, we lost the facility for Lashon Kodesh, many of the people. So it became, there was a greater need at that time, I guess, to reintroduce the Targum. And it fit with what they were speaking. The people became used to that language. So that's my speculation. My uncle is the one that reintroduced something which there was an era where it didn't serve much use. You know, for the average person. Now, I'm always fond to mention, there was in Chofetz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael many, many years back, she was already Nifter, where Sarah Mizrahi, Allah Hashalom. She was a woman that came from a Turkish family. She was the cook, one of the cooks in Chofetz Chaim. Her mother tongue was Aramaic. Her parents spoke Aramaic in the house. She said, well, she came from a Turk, I think there were newspapers in Aramaic. That was her mother tongue. And I still remember, I don't remember exactly what the outcome of this was, but I was standing next out there at the kitchen one time. I had come there with Rabbi Kinarik, Shlita, and Rabbi Kinarik, there was some strange word in the Gemara. And Rabbi Kinarik went to ask her what it meant, if she knew, because it was her mother tongue, what the word in the Gemara meant. So that's why I presume that it had a revival at that time. And that's why, again, later, after we left that part of the Middle East, that's why the Targum lapsed again, because it just was not the spoken language. In Alamai, it's difficult to replace, because what translation could we put up which could compete with the authenticity and the authority of something which came from the Tanoim and Masayim? So that, apparently, for that reason, they were reluctant, you know, to put up. They, you know, Doylem and all the Duras could have. The Rambam could have made a parish in Arabic. He was
not
capable.
Not only that, the Rav has always said that Targum isn't only a translation.
Oh yeah, Targum. That's the point. We don't want only a translation. That's clear in the halacha. Targum is interpretations. There are piskei din in Targum based on certain shitas Tanoim. We don't necessarily always paskin the halacha that way, but they're there. There are interpretations. Now, the Rambam could have written an interpretation too. The Rambam was quite capable. But it looks like Chachmei HaMesor did not want to place anything to give it the same authority that it given to the Targum, because it didn't come from that level of Mesor and authenticity. So it lapsed. That's what appears to have happened in history. But the basic notion of Targum is we should have an understanding of Pichazal of the text. What the text means. You know, I mean, you see it's literally, you see what happens when the non-Jews start interpreting Tanakh. And I'm not even talking when they have a religious axe to grind. I'm not even talking about that. But in general, when they pick up on something in Tanakh, you know, they ask, what's this, what's that? You know, and they have no, their problem is, they have no Torah Shebal Peh. Our Yisoid is the Torah Shebal Peh. We say it in actually in the Birchas HaTorah that we make when we ascend the Bima for an Aliyah. Right? Asher Nosan Noru Taras HaMes. That's the Torah Shebiksav. What does the Torah say? Is V'chai Olam Nota B'Sochenu? It's the Torah Shebal Peh. The essence of what we are is the Torah Shebal Peh. The Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. The Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav, in and of itself, is not a very useful document. It's far too ambiguous to make much use of it. It's only through the lens of the Torah Shebapeh that we understand the Torah Shebiksav in a meaningful fashion. Vishnai mikro ve'echa targum. Now, the language of the Gemara is chayav odom lahashtum parshiyos of im hatzibur. Now, what does it mean, im hatzibur? The simplest meaning of im hatzibur is, when does the tzibur begin the parsha? When do we begin a parsha each week? Shabbos at mincha. Now, I don't presume we'd have to actually have to daven mincha, although there are those that would suggest that. L'chayr, it means, when the zman of Kriyas HaTorah comes, when it comes time to daven mincha, half an hour after chatzis, that's the zman for starting the new parsha. I could daven 3 hours later, some people daven right away, that's not material, but that's the zman. That's what the tzibur of Klal Yisrael is oisik in this parasha. And the simplest explanation is that it ends next week, next Shabbos, when at that point, when we're ready to start the new parasha, that's it, we finished with the old one. That's the simplest explanation. Not everyone agrees to that. I mean, that's the way the Torah, that's the assumption of the Torah, basically, what I told you. And that is probably the soundest lahalocha. Now, there are other days brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and in other words, in terms of the lechatchila, that's clearly the lechatchila. There are other days brought in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a day in the Shulchan Aruch that says that you have until Tuesday evening each week to finish the Aftarah. I mean the Torah, the Shnayim Mikra. Why? Because we have a halacha that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday consider a sequel, the closure of the previous Shabbos, and Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's halacha nechus gittin, and the dates of a get are considered dates prior, lifnei Shabbos. So if you wrote that this get was written before Shabbos Noyach, so if it was written Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, that's a proper date. If it was written on Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, it would be possible. If you wrote that it's after Shabbos, it has to be on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. If it was after Shabbos Bereishis, that would be fine. Now, we have halachas which stem from this. I mentioned the Friday night. We have the notion we can do Avdolah till Shlishi B'Shabbos for that reason. Because that's considered tied to the previous Shabbos. There are those that say that Klai Yisrael is still Oisik in this Shabbos until Tuesday evening. So till Tuesday evening, you could finish the Shnayim Mikra. And then there's a very expansive view that says, what does it mean, Lahashlam Parshi Yosef Matzibur? When does the Tzibur actually finish its Parshias? At Simchas Torah. So you have all the way till Simchas Torah to play catch up. So whatever you didn't do until that point, you could do in time for Simchas Torah and finish it up. And then you finish Im HaTzibur. Now, there are all different views of how to do this. There are those that did the whole parsha, and again the whole parsha, and the Targum. There were those that did it posik, every posik twice, and once the Targum. I believe the Vilna Gaon did it. He went from parsha, meaning from each pay to each samach, where there's a break in the Torah itself, he did that, then he did it a second time, then he did the targum, then he went to the next part. When to do it, should you do a little bit every day, is the main time Friday, on Friday and Friday night, all types of days, you know. All it's agreed to is by Shabbos we should finish. But there's a lot of different days of what's the preferential way to do it. My personal attitude, when it comes to Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum, I'm an absolute minimalist. I don't have any, project any chumras. I just want to know one thing. At the end of the week, did you do twice the mikra or once? We'll come back to what the possibilities for Targum were. How you did it on this day, you did it on that day, you did it at night, you did it. I don't care. Why do I say I don't care? Because I've watched long enough all the people trying to do it with the chumras, and basically 99% of them didn't succeed in doing it. They gave up. So I realized that lo zu aderech, you know, there's a whole literature. Do you have to do shnai mikra, tais the pasuk and then the targum, or could you do the mikra, the targum, and then again the mikra? So I believe in the levush, it's quite clear you could do the targum, the chumash, the targum, and then the mikra again. Not everyone agrees, but halacha l'maisa, you should certainly do it that way. It may not be, according to everybody, the most l'chatchilo, but practically, if you want to succeed with this mitzvah, it's the best way to do it.
Is it l'chatchilo to do each pasuk separately twice?
There are some that, yeah, there are g'dayli olam that did it, that held it l'chatchilo that way, yes.
It is l'chatchilo?
Yes.
But there are some that hold that you could do the whole parsha.
Yes.
And the whole parsha and then Targum?
Yes.
Why is it that almost every single, there's approximately 10 to 15 prints of Shnei Mikra Targum on the market, and every single one of them has the Pasuk twice and then Oklis? Now, one of them has like the whole parsha.
What would be the point of the whole? Who needs them if they're going to have? Then I can use the Chumash.
No, the point would be to have the whole parsha. Once and
then
twice.
Why print it twice? I had a shayla. I recently looked in the Chok L'Yisrael for something. So when the Chok L'Yisrael has a posik, a targum, the next posik, targum. So I was wondering for myself, when did they do the second mikra? And according to the Chok. So first I came to the idea that, oh, they must have done it in Kriyas HaTorah to do the posik at the end. Then I said to myself, Machzach Nishnarash. That's not the pshat.
Right there,
they don't have to print it. That's what I got to print it twice for. Exactly. You know, if they every time for the Slichas, they told you to turn to page 222 to find Kemelech Yeshev. You know, they weren't printing the posik twice on the page, so you shouldn't have to pick up your nose back to the beginning of the last posik. It wasn't happening in European printing. So that was the pshat. They did the psukim twice, and then they did the targum. That's it. You had it there. You know, one after the other. I mean, to do it, you know, if once you're going to do long stretches, so who needs them anymore? You know, then there's no problem. If you every pasuk you're going to be going up and back between the targum and the pasuk, so there's an advantage in having a chumash that goes. But if you're going to do big pieces, there's no advantage.
How about chumps? How about if you do like a paragraph and then. You know, like
that's a manik daily olam. I told you the Vilna Gaon did Shnayim Mikra. He did a parsha,
right.
Meaning from a pay to a samach. Right. Did that again. Did the targum, went to the next part.
Can you choose your chops? Like I'll do it for the two pages. So
the best. Listen, I tell people I don't care how you do it. Just do it. Right. You know, you want to know in the lachatchilas. Yeah, in the lachatchilas, it should be preferably to a pay or a samach, or maybe some break in the action. But to a pay or a samach is certainly the best if you did it that way. That is the whole thing. It says you're not supposed to be mafsik when you're doing it. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes bananas about this. He says, what do you mean? There's no brocha, so why can't you be mafsik? Elamai, stam, you're not supposed to talk in the middle of learning. Stam, little Torah. Okay, well, what does that have to do with this? You know, if let's say you have a reason you have to talk. I thought I wasn't blown away by his question, by many mitzvahs, like where it's not an issue of the brocha anymore per se, but you're not supposed to be mafsik. You know, you started a mitzvah, you're isik in the mitzvah. You shouldn't be doing anything else. You should try to be focused on the mitzvah. But be the resume, it's certainly not Makim. Yeah, there were big tzaddikim. Rav Moshe Zatzal, if he, I think he used a new parsha by parsha of a paita with Samach, and if he got interrupted and he had to answer someone, so he would go back and start from the beginning of the parsha, that parsha again, you know? Good, okay, listen. You know, Rav Moshe was a big tzaddik, you know?
If I'm doing it, let's say, parsha, for let's say, from Bereshit till Malach, and I'm doing it twice, and then again, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I do need to be mavsik a lot of times, for example.
Yeah, of course you need to be mavsik.
I go to Mincha and I didn't finish.
So that's also.
And then I'm going to continue.
Continue exactly where you stopped and let's keep going.
Just make it could be even simply the end of any pasuk.
Yes, yes.
And then I just continue the
okay, go straight ahead.
If I did, let's say, only half of a mikra, and then on my next opportunity is Tuesday.
Yeah.
I could do the other half of that mikra and then another mikra.
Rabbi said, that's what I do. That's the only way that I figured out that I will ever succeed in doing it.
Rabbi's interrupted plenty.
What? I do the whole parsha.
I do the whole parsha. I do the whole day. Then I do the targum, and then I finish. I read together with the Bakriya, the last time.
On the Bakriya reading.
So I do
before Shabbos.
I do before Shabbos. I try every week to do once the mikra, once the targum. That's my plan.
Unless you have to.
And Baruch Hashem, I have to tell you. Not that I didn't do it before, but 15 years ago, I decided that I'm going to keep a written record, starting from Toshvan Samach Aleph. Now, I have upstairs in my office, I have 15 luchas, and every week is checked off. So that I can tell you. Before that, I don't know, because I did the mitzvah. But for 15 years, I have a written record that I've done the mitzvah.
What happens if you have to be mafsik, Emil? You just continue a day or two? Or
whenever I get back to it, I continue, yeah.
You don't start over again from the beginning of the parasha?
No, no. As I told you, I'm a minimalist. Anyone that adds the chumras, listen, I'm a kind of the people whose lives are so mesudah that they're not interrupted by things, you know. There are rare individuals whose lives are so, you know, they came to Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal 20 years ago or so when the cell phones were first coming out. A bunch of mechanchim, and they wanted to ask him certain shaylis about it. I don't know, whatever they wanted to ask. So he heard what they wanted. So he says, before you ask me something, he says, I want to ask you something. He says, the most precious thing in the entire world is Menuchas HaNefesh. He says, why do you want to give it away so easily? Just explain that to me. Okay? That's a person that had steel discipline. When it was time to start learning, it didn't make a difference. Nobody in the world crossed the threshold of his Beis Medrash with him. As tight as you were with him, he stopped at the door. And he went in and he closed the door behind you and that's it. And he went off to his world, you know. So a person that lives his life like that with such seder, you know, can do a lot of things. And I'm kind of those that are able to achieve that, you know. I'm not able to achieve it in my life. So I have to live with within the limitations that I have. So that's what I told you. I'm a minimalist when it comes to this. Now, what should we use for the targum? That's the real crunch question that comes down to it. So we find the following, that there are those that suggested, the Shulchan Aruch already quotes, that they should do Rashi instead of the targum. Why? Because the targum was not a language which was well understood anymore at that time. And the Rashi, I'll get a good understanding of how Chazal understood the Parsha. But the Milo of Targum is that it's a Maserah Misinai.
It's also on every word.
It's on every word, in every Pasuk. So the Shulchan Aruch said, if you really want to do it the best way, is do the Targum and do Rashi. You know, then you'll cover all your bases. Now those that do Rashi, so what do you do with the pasuk that doesn't have Rashi? So then you do the pasuk a third time. And there's a very strange statement. The Gemara says you should do the parshiyos imatzibur afilu atoros v'divon. Right? Those are the places that are mentioned, atoros v'divon v'yazer v'na. So those, the shaila is, we have targum on those pasukim. So the Mefarshim say that's not our targum, it's targum Yerushalmi, it's not targum Unkelis. But what does it want? Afilo atoros v'divon. What was the point? So Rosh Hashulchan quotes Rabbeinu Bachya that says that those names are names of Avodah Zarah in the Targum. They talk about the various avodah zarah which the goyim worshipped in those places. So you might have thought, he said, that there's a mila that that targum we shouldn't say, because who wants to mention the name of the avodah zarah? So it says even that we should say. That's the way he wants to learn that line of filo atoros v'diva. So the shaila is, what is there anything that we can use to substitute for targum? That Aruch HaShulchan was not very happy with substitutions for targum, but the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal was more expensive. There was, in historically, before the rise of girls' education in the 20th century, right? That's right. Well, many, many, many women did not have facility in Lashon Kodesh. Their sole facility was in the Yiddish language. So the Tzener Rena was written for that reason. It was written in Yiddish because it really was oriented. I don't know if it was initially intended, but that's what happened. It wound up oriented. The women became the women safer. And basically goes through all the parshios, and it brings a lot of medrash on each parsha. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal wrote that if one did Shnayim Mikra, and you read the Tzener Rena on the week's parsha, you also Yoytzei Echad Targum. So from that, once you assume that we can have new qualifiers for the Targum, so I asked someone to ask Rav Schoenberg Zatzal. So in at least some of the art scrolls, I did not have a chance. I was toots a tumult today, you know, running around with the things that I have to take care of for the tzibur. But I wanted to look carefully. At least some of the art scrolls, the translations in all the chumashim are not exactly the same in all the art scrolls. There are variations. Some of them are clearly Alpi Chazal. A perish in the art scroll, which is Alpi Chazal, Yoytzi Rav Schoenberg passing Yoytzi the Targum with that. You could use that instead of the Targum.
But you're talking about the straight translation, because earlier I was reading that translation itself doesn't really do it. It has to be a parish, because Rashi is only good since it's a parish and Targum.
It's not just a straight translation. Some of them are a translation which includes interpretations of Chazal. Remember that the Targum is very minimal. It is in his. There are interpretations, but I spoke to someone, in fact, that his ASIC is publishing on Medroshim. So we said he's working on the Yunus of Menuzil to put it out with a parish. He says, the Targum Unghalis, he says, I have little cheshik to put out with the parish, because to the largest extent, it's a literal translation. Elamai, for the small, for the chidushim, for the lomdim, you know, he's not interested in writing a parish.
But what about the Masorah aspect? We're going to lose the Masorah of...
So, whatever, listen, that there was Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch already signed off we could use Rashi. He said, we're Yaitzi with Rashi. So, he was willing to sign off on that part.
So what was the Rav's question? The Tzener Rena was mutter according to the Mishnah Berurah.
Because the Tzener Rena is extensive medrash or roshim. It's not just a translation. You get the story of the parsha, you know, in a big way from the Tzener Rena. So this is a very, very. So do we have, listen, other possibilities for the Echad Targum too? You know, I try to encourage my Talmidim, if they were there, you know, to do part, or at least part Rashi and part Targum. Because I said, if you do, in time, you will understand the Targum, you'll understand the Gemara better that you're learning, and you'll start to understand the things that the Targum is adding to the Chumash too. It's not going to happen right away, but it's a process. So this is, as I say, it's an important mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah which has certainly suffers from a great deal of neglect. You know, Poshet the Yidden in Poland do that, Pestidichnaim Mikro Vecha Targum, that was just one of the things they did every week, that's it. But, you know, it's lost a little bit of its hold on people, and we need really to revive it. And I think with that we'll see a revival of understanding of Chumash altogether if we go in that direction.
Sometimes if you do the second reading with the tzibor, so they're on the beginning of Shlishi, and you lose it, you know, and you're not following, and then you...
It's very simple. It's very simple, and especially in light of Aruch HaShulchan that says it's the twin of Kriyas HaTorah. That just underscores to me a very simple thing. If I fall behind the Pasuk, I just skip and I keep going. When the Aliyah finishes, I go back and do that Pasuk. It's a very simple thing. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, I think it's in Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin, if I recall correctly. Let's say the Baal Kriya made a mistake. Okay, we come to Parshas Noach, and that's it. We see three Aliyahs ago, you know, he made a mistake. So what do we do? So the Shulchan Aruch says that we should read that Pasuk, maybe two other Pesukim after him. I don't recall that detail at the moment.
One before, one after.
And then go back to where we are. I think that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Finished. And then go back to where I am. So the Chofetz Chaim in a footnote, I think in Siman Kuf Mem Gimel in the Shor Tzion, writes, he preferred that we not do that. Why? He said, because you're going to mix the tzibur up by jumping around. So Ani HaKotan wrote in my mind, Beis Dalar Aleph, Bamed Dvorim Amurim. It depends what you're fixing. You're going to come, and now we're up to the last Pasuk in Parshas Noach, and some guy's going to come, we made a mistake in the second Pasuk in the Parsha. So now you want to go back and read for another half an hour? No, sir. That's not what the Chofetz Chaim intended. I mean, I know so a place that it goes on. Not what the Chofetz Chaim intended. If it's a short fix, so go back and go straight. But if it's a major, Tircha de Tzibura, the Chofetz Chaim's intention was not to go read, okay, another 100 Pesukim, you know, back again. And then they'll find, oops, 90 Pesukim back, and made a mistake. Go back again, you know. Those are what derech. So, to me, it's very clear that the Shnayim Mikra cannot be more chomer than the Kriya Sator. That's poshut. According to Rosh Hashanah, it's almost mukhra, because it's the twin. It's a twin to Kriya Sator.
But again, you do have to go sequentially.
You don't? No, you're supposed to read. The only thing is, there are two things you have to do sequentially. Kriya Shema, because there's a passage that says, Behoyu Advorim Ha'il, and the Gemara says, Behoyu Bahava Yosin Yehei. And by Mikra Megillah, they also learned that you have to be sequential. By Kriya Satara, there's no din, that's what I told you. The Shulchan Pasuk, you do not have to be sequential. Yes, you know, you're not supposed to read out of order. You know, you're supposed to go in order. But if you wound up having to go out of order, you also yaitzi.
Sometimes I find if I read the English first, it helps me read the Hebrew because I follow along better. We should read the Tiger and then two Mikras?
Yeah, I'm not convinced that there's any basis that you're allowed to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's say, on Kriyas HaTorah, if I come to Hashkom Minyan and they're up to Chamishi,
yeah,
and I hear Chamishi till the end,
yes,
then I come here and I hear Rishon to
Yaitse, and go home. Yaitse. Barry wants to do what I did. You know, Rabbi, so I did something that no Rebbe did. Every Rebbe will be economy. I don't care what the Rebbe was. That, you know, there's a Shah Machlaikis, what Aliyah, the Rebbe is supposed to get, Shlishi or Shishi. So, Pashtas, it goes like this. Alpi Nigla, you get Shlishi. Alpi Kabbalah, you get Shishi. So, the Litvish or Shubas get Shlishi, and the Rebbe's get Shishi. The Goyin used to take Shishi, though. The Goyin held the Shishi, was the proper. Al Kalponim, one Shabbos, I got Shlishi and Shishi. I went to, there were two bar mitzvahs at the same time, so I first went downstairs to the bar mitzvah, and there they gave me Shlishi. Then I came upstairs, said I wanted to go, they gave me Shishi. So I had Shlishi and Shishi in the same, in the same parsha. Our good Rabbi Yisai.
So why does the Rav think you can't do the English?